Tape 1, Side 1, Pittsburgh Section, National Council of Jewish Women, Oral History 2. My name is Mildred Menlo, and with my partner, Ruth Weiner, we are interviewing Charlotte Arnold. Mrs. Arnold, would you start by telling us something about yourself, your background, your family life, etc.?
I guess I want to go back and tell you that my mother and father were both Russian immigrants. My father came from a little town in the Pale called Cherkass. My mother from a little town called Zhytomyr. Both of them emigrated to the United States in the early 1900s as small children and lived in Philadelphia, where they married and had two children, my sister and brother. They then moved to a small town, Port Jervis, New York, which is the gateway to the Catskills, Port Jervis and Middletown, New York. And I was raised, born in Port Jervis and raised in Middletown, New York. My father was in the produce business and also in the food service business. My brother was in the service during the war. Both my sister and brother are a good bit older than I am. As for me, I went to school in Middletown, New York, and then went to the State University of New York, Albany campus, where I received a Bachelor of Arts degree in education.
Your parents' names, please.
My parents' name, my mother's name was Jenny Axelrod Skolnick, S-K-O-L-N-I-C-K, and my father's name was Abraham Skolnick. Both are now deceased.
Your sister and your brother.
My sister's name is Thelma Skolnick Michelson, and she lives in Scarsdale, New York. And my brother's name is Herbert Skolnick, and he lives right now in Los Angeles.
Are they married?
They're both married and both have children.
Okay. How many children does Thelma have?
Oh, my sister has four children, three daughters, and a son. All three of them live in California, and one in Connecticut. And she has pursued a career in real estate, but was, I should mention here, was very, very active, and I think remains active in Hadassah. It was something that she was very interested in. My brother was an executive in the sales section of General Motors, and he is married and has one son who lives in Los Angeles and is an attorney. And he, in turn, is married and has three children.
Okay. Great.
Okay. After I graduated from the State University of New York, Albany campus, I was married, this is my second marriage, so that was my first marriage to Herbert Ginsburg, who was from Schenectady, New York, and we lived for a year in a little town in New York State, in Cambridge, New York, and then went to North Carolina, where he received some graduate degrees, and two graduate degrees, and it was in
master's and doctor's?
No, two master's degrees, actually. And it was while we were living in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, that I had my first child. And his name is Seth Lawrence.
How old is he now?
He'll be 36. That really makes you feel old when your kids get old, doesn't it? It's not when you get old, but when he was 30, I thought I would die. When I was 30, it didn't bother me. When he was 30, I couldn't believe it. And you don't even know anything about him right this
minute.
No,
we'll pick him up.
Okay, and at that time, I tried to be very active in among college wives with husbands going back to school and that kind of thing, so that I have always been very active in the community. Also, was a Girl Scout leader. I was a Girl Scout till I was 17 years old, and was a Girl Scout leader, and Seth sat on my lap through many Girl Scout meetings. I always said it's why he likes young ladies so much, but I'm sitting on my lap at Girl Scout meetings. We then moved in 1954 when my first husband received a job offer from Westinghouse. We then moved to Pittsburgh. And we lived in North Versailles Township in the beginning. And I was at, for almost from the beginning, including both Girl Scouts, I was also became very active with the McKeesport chapter of B'nai B'rith Women. A little bit about that B'nai B'rith Women Association. At the time, I did a lot of skit writing for them and was very involved with the Anti-Defamation League. And we won a number of awards for ADL skits.
You worked with Gussie Snyder.
I knew Gussie Snyder very well, too, yes. And after, then at that, while we lived in North Versailles Township, and while I was, as a matter of fact, I was inducted into B'nai B'rith Women while I was pregnant with my second child, and his name is Daniel Evan, and he was born while we lived there.
That was when?
And, that in 1956. And then in 1960, and I still have a picture of me winning a big ADL award and being pregnant with my next child, we bought a home in Forest Hills, and we moved to Forest Hills. And during those years, I was very active in PTA. And continued to be active in B'nai B'rith Women and also the Forest Hills Women's Club. And I think I may have been the first Jewish member of the Forest Hills Women's Club. I know we were one of the first Jewish families to move in there, but we were very welcomed there. The other Jewish family that lived there that I know of at the time were the Rapports, Betty and Bill Rapport. I don't know if you know them. I then joined the Ardmore chapter of B'nai B'rith Women and became the president of the Ardmore chapter of B'nai B'rith Women. In all this time, my greatest interest was in the Anti-Defamation League. And at that time, after I served as president of the Ardmore chapter, I became the Pittsburgh chair for the Anti-Defamation League. And it was at that point that my whole life changed, really. And because Dorothy Binstock started a group of conferences on women and the urban crisis. And Dorothy asked me to chair the Pittsburgh conference. It was how I met most of the women that I know from National Council of Jewish Women, because they were involved with us. It was how I came to know very well Florence Reisenstein, who became my real mentor.
When was this?
That was in 1969. And so I chaired the first conference on women in the urban crisis. And then when they decided to form an organization called Women in the Urban Crisis, I became the founding president of that organization. Always with Florence next to me, if I know how to work through the system, it's because Florence taught me everything I know about working through.
Woman.
She was a remarkable woman, and it makes me teary to even think about her now. As a matter of fact, I was with her in her home, left her home. Her husband had even come home, and I was there and left the day she died. I mean, the fumes had started when I left. I suspect if I had stayed, we might have not had this conversation. But Florence was very, and also Dorothy Binstock was very, very supportive of me all these years. Very supportive of me all of these years. I sometimes feel guilty that I've sort of left B'nai B'rith Women But my life changed. At that point, I was deciding on getting a divorce. It meant and I was running Women in the Urban Crisis, but realizing that I needed to find a job if I was going to be able to get a divorce and be economically independent. My parents had no help for me. They were never moneyed people.
And this was when?
1969, 1970. So in, I was the president of Women in the Urban Crisis, and I guess I can brag a little bit about what we did as president of Women in the Urban Crisis. We started a lunch program. We started the first lunch program for the City of Pittsburgh Schools. There were no lunch programs. We started it in Manchester, and we ran it out of Bidwell Center. And it was the first lunch program. Then we started another lunch program over at Kingsley House in East Liberty, and a third lunch program in Homewood, for the Homewood School. As a result of those lunch programs, Pittsburgh School System picked up a whole lunch program and took over those programs. But we started them, Women in the Urban Crisis. We started a training program for daycare mothers as a result of what we did there. We started Call for Action, and with Council of Jewish Women. Council of Jewish Women was approached to do the Call for Action program at KDKA, but they couldn't do it. It had to be an organization that had a lot of organizations. And so they came to Women in the Urban Crisis, and we started the Call for Action program at KDKA. As a matter of fact, the first chairperson of that was Edith Shiner. And her friendship with me, that she took it over and put it together. We started a lot of things. We worked very closely. That was when Florence and I worked very closely with the schools, because Florence was very interested in education, and we worked very closely with the school board and the then president of the school board, who was Mr. Kibbe, who was, and I can't remember his first name, and we worked very closely with him and did a lot of work in human relations with the school board. There were quite a few other things that we accomplished in those 2.5 years that I was president, but a lot of it was just the bonding of the women in this community, because we had National Council of Jewish Women and B'nai B'rith Women, obviously, and National Council of Catholic Women, National Council of Negro Women, and we worked very closely together, and I think we did a lot of bonding that continues to exist in this community that doesn't exist. I now have offices in Allentown and Harrisburg and Philadelphia, and believe me, it does not exist like it exists here, particularly not in Philadelphia. Yeah, let me say that on the tape, that when Dorothy Binstock, who was the national ADL chairman at the time, started these Women in the Urban Crisis conferences, it only resulted in Pittsburgh in one organization, such as the Organization of Women in the Urban Crisis. And it was an excellent meeting ground. I'm sorry that it sort of died, but things exist when they're needed, and maybe if it's ever needed again, it will be revived.
You go on to other things.
And you go on to other things.
We interviewed Dorothy.
Good. Okay. After, while I was president of Women in the Urban Crisis, I was approached by an organization in Philadelphia called Pennsylvania Program for Women and Girl Offenders, and asked if I would put someone on a task force of theirs.
Would you repeat the name of
that? Yeah, Pennsylvania Program for Women and Girl Offenders. I was asked to put someone on a task force for that organization. They were out of Philadelphia. Interestingly, I was so disinterested in it that I put someone else on the task force, a woman by the name of Marion Charles. So, black lady that I put on that task force. I had absolutely no interest in female offenders and never thought that I would. But about that time, I just let it be known that I was looking for a job. At that time, my daughter was 1971. My daughter was 11 years old. I ought to go back and tell you something kind of funny, though, that I first met John Arnold when he was the head of Sears Roebuck at the time, in this whole area, not just one store, but all this whole area, Western Pennsylvania and Ohio and West Virginia. And as president of Women in the Urban Crisis, I went to Sears to ask them for money for one of our lunch programs in East Liberty. And they gave us the money, and when we opened the program, I called them and invited them to come, and they said, well, not only are we going to come, but we're going to bring the big boss. So I met the man who was later to become my husband, and that was the only thing that I did on a soup line. And someplace there are pictures of us serving soup, but I've never been able to find them again because it was many, many years later that I knew him as a suitor, so many years later. Anyway, I thought you might be interested in that.
That is.
Okay, so that while I was president of Women in the Urban Crisis, I sort of let it be known that I wanted a job, and I had been trained as a school teacher and never really taught, just did my practice teaching. So I called one of the schools to see if I could begin as a substitute, and this is a sort of an interesting story that I don't usually tell people, but it's a good story for a Jewish thing. That my first call to come as a substitute was on Yom Kippur morning at 6 o'clock in the morning. They called me. I said, never mind. I don't want to, forget it, because I can't handle this kind of thing. So that was Yom Kippur was the end of my teaching career. Yom Kippur, incidentally, serves a whole other thing with me, because it was also 8 years ago that I stopped smoking on Yom Kippur. So part of my memory of holidays, that's right. Things people came to me, Pennsylvania Program for Women and Girl Offenders came to me and said that they were looking for someone to come in to run what they called the Citizen Education Program. And so I started with Pennsylvania Program running this Citizen Education Program. And I had a title, which was Pittsburgh Coordinator for Pennsylvania Program for Women and Girl Offenders. And so women started to come to me to ask for help, although I was really just doing an educational thing, not direct service, and I'm not a social worker, and I really didn't know anything about direct service.
That title was?
Pittsburgh Coordinator for Pennsylvania Program for Women and Girl Offenders. And so I started to learn more about the criminal justice system, and I started to go up to the jail to see if I could meet some offenders, just to see who I was dealing with. I don't need to tell you that these were my salad days, and I had no idea what an offender would be like or who I thought I would find. And what I found there was a veil of tears. I did not find beautiful call girls. I did not find violent women. I found very sad young women there. And became more and more interested in what I could do to help them directly, rather than just educating the community about their needs. At that time, I received a call from a young lady, and she said, I'm calling you because I need some help. And she told me her name, and she was the daughter of a B'nai B'rith woman member. I said to her, does your mother know that you're calling me? Because she may not want me to know that you're in trouble with the law. And she said, yes. When my mother heard that I was going to call you, she said, yes, please call Charlotte. This young lady took me then to me. She's a very unusual young lady at the time. She was about 17 or 18, and she looked very like a tart, frankly. But she wanted me to meet her probation officer, and she kept pushing me to do things for her. And as I began to do things for her, I began to then serve more and more women. This young lady, incidentally, has gone on to be one of the directors of my affiliate agencies, and her children. She's like my other daughter, as a matter of fact, and did come to my daughter's wedding in New Orleans. So she is very close to me and a very dear child. But it was she, really, and then when she later, I must just sort of interject here while I'm talking about her, that later on, when she moved to Harrisburg, she asked me for a job, and so I started my second agency in Harrisburg just to give her a job. It's interesting how those things start to, you know, work. But anyway, I then began to realize that there was a tremendous need for direct service to these women, not just to educating the community, but to serving them. They have such special needs, no job skills, no support system. Most of them are the victims of abuse, be it physical or emotional or sexual, and they really need so many things. So we wrote a grant, took it to the county commissioners, who still laugh about it to this day because they did not want to sign for the proposal because they were afraid that if it got started and we couldn't find the money that we'd be back asking them for money. That really did happen, but not quite in the same way that they expected it to. And they refused to meet with me. And so NOW and NAACP, NOW was very new then, joined together. And we had a big demonstration at the county commissioner's meeting with the cameras rolling and babies screaming and banners flying. And finally, Judge Stacy, who is now on my board, said, okay, he'd meet with me. And Tom Forster was dead set against us getting any money, and he is really my biggest supporter today. As a matter of fact, he's really funny because he calls me Saint Charlotte. He's really strange. But anyway, that was how we started. We started on 5th Avenue, 906 5th Avenue, with two people and a rat in the basement. And downstairs from another, from the son of one of my close friends in B'nai B'rith women, Michael Lewick, was the, as a matter of fact, he called me and said, Charlotte, there's an office space available, and he was with the Attorney General's office. He and I knew each other because this incidentally, women's group would call this whole thing networking, what I've done in my life. But Michael and I knew each other because his mother, of course, is Irene Lewick. And when she went out of office as the president of B'nai B'rith Council, Michael and I wrote the skit about her. And he was just a kid then. And so we moved into that office where Michael was very helpful to me over the years in getting this together. In 1976, our board decided to withdraw from Pennsylvania Program for Women and Girl Offenders because they were not doing any direct service and were having tremendous problems getting funding to do the kind of 60s action that was no longer popular. And they went out of business ultimately, and leaving us in Pittsburgh as the program for female offenders. And we then have grown from just doing counseling to we do skill training in our office upstairs. And we now have offices, and we moved across the state and eventually into Philadelphia. So we have offices in Harrisburg, and I told you how that started, in Allentown, and again networking. Judge Davison, who is a Jewish judge in Allentown, had met me on several boards and had asked me to bring in a program to Allentown. I brought that program in there and ultimately to Philadelphia. Along the way, some interesting things that happened, and I guess sometimes you don't know how things happen, but I'm very conscious of how things happen. Along the way, right after I took this job, they started an organization in Harrisburg, again, another Jewish person, because it was Governor Schaff, who started with some of the judges an organization called the Joint Council on Corrections. And they needed to find somebody, a woman from the western part of the state, dealing with female offenders. Now, you know that there was nobody else but me, so it was sort of interesting. So I got on the Joint Council. From that Joint Council, I moved into being one of the delegates from Pennsylvania to a big national conference on criminal justice that the Nixon administration held. I was then the first chair of Pennsylvania's juvenile justice. I was the first chair of the Pennsylvania's Juvenile Justice and Delinquency Prevention Committee. I can give you a resume.
Okay,
so, you know, and that has that all in it.
Great.
And then became a member of what was then the Governor's Justice Commission, and I have served on that commission, which is now called the Pennsylvania Commission on Crime and Delinquency, under three governors, under Schaap, and then Dick Thornburgh appointed me, and I still serve under Governor Casey. So those were the kinds of things that have happened. I was the president of the Board of Trustees for the Youth Development Centers in Pennsylvania. So those are some of the things that have happened along the way. There are many other organizations that I was the first woman, as I think about it, the first woman board member of Better Business Bureau. And I served on the Urban League board with Frieda Shapira, as a matter of fact, and was very close friends, incidentally, all along the way, especially in our citizen days, with Shirley Levine. She's one of my favorite people in the whole world. I'm terribly sorry to hear that. I'm really sorry, because I really love Shirley. She was a dynamic woman.
Very active in the National Council.
I know. And she was the representative on Women in the Urban Crisis from National Council. Doing something like this is no time for humility. I guess I'm going to have to tell you about some of my awards and stuff.
Yes,
and
yes.
I'd surely like to tell you about my children.
You didn't even give us the name of this
children. Oh, that's right.
So I have all my little pictures in my mind.
Don't worry, dear.
Believe that I'll bring her wedding picture.
We'll bring every detail of your family. But you have really been so articulate.
Oh, wonderful.
About this.
Yes. Well, I'm so used to doing this that, you know. My husband put all my awards on the board, so I won't even forget them. But I did receive an award that I know you'll be interested in, which is the Ort Social Assistance Award in 1973. And one of the awards that I feel the proudest of is the Thomas Merton Award that was given to a priest and then me and then to another priest, and it's usually been that way. And so I was very proud of that, and I got to get up here and see what year it was. It was 1974 that I received that social service award. I've also received the YWCA award for social assistance, and the first year that they gave that award, they gave it to Frieda, and the second year they gave it to me. And I've received many other awards, and the Kaufman's Triangle Corner Award, too. And then last year, and again, it's interesting, isn't it, about my life in Yom Kippur, because on Yom Kippur Day, in last year, I received the Carlow College President's Award. And at first, I wasn't going to go. And then I decided to go, and I went after Yisker and made my whole speech about the fact that this was a Jewish woman and on Yom Kippur receiving the award from the Carlow president. So it was very satisfying.
That is,
to
yes,
me.
Yes. That was last year?
That was, I think it was last year. I can't remember. Did they put a date on that? They don't even put a year on it. Yeah, I think it was last year. So...
an offender. This is the thing that I think needs to be said too. Just as Twersky keeps emphasizing, there's such a great need for drug and alcohol rehabilitation.
Well, she's not a drug product, but she's doing really well. She's darling. I love her. We've had our best success with Jewish girls. We've had about 10. We've had maybe 5,000 women come through the program. And
I think this is after all.
Okay.
And these are marvelous asides.
Oh, okay. Well,
yes,
we've had between 5,000 and 7,000 women come through the program, and in Pittsburgh we've had about 10 Jewish girls, and every one of them has successfully completed this program. They're all in touch with me, and they're all doing very well. And some of them you would be surprised to know, because they're a couple who are very well known in the community in their own fields. So, which I, of course, I can't get into.
No, no. Why do you think that's true?
Well, I don't know. Well, of course, it's the support system in the Jewish community for families, and I think that they're bright, they're intelligent, and they understand where they've made their mistake, and they work to correct it.
Are they aware of what created?
Oh, well, most of them, sure. And most of the times it's an overbearing mother. I hate to tell you that, but it's with the Jewish girls it is. But not, that's not true. And it's a kind of, when I said that most offenders are either emotionally, physically, or sexually abused, in their case they're emotionally abused. I mean, you know, I have seen the Jewish mothers of these children say things like, "Why did you do this to me?" I mean, what is it? Something they've done to themselves, not to their mothers. Incidentally, and on this, while I'm still talking a little bit about myself and the agency, this agency now is statewide, but we are moving into national replication, and we hope...
End of side one, tape one, continued on side.
...in Delaware and one in Ohio. But in the meantime, I think this is a story, and I sometimes...